2 Thessalonians 2:1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Let's pray. Father, bless us as we look into this, Lord. Bless our studies. Bless this time. Be with us. Be present with us, Lord, to teach and give light for understanding. May we see how that you are all in all. And may we praise your name for your mercy and for the light that you have given us to see who you are and what you've done for us. Bless us, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Paul says, "We beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus." And it's interesting in this passage, it seems strange maybe that Paul would be reassuring this church by saying that Christ is not going to be coming soon. You would think it would be the other way around, that he would be giving comfort in the fact that the Lord will be coming soon. But he's saying that there are things that will have to happen, that will happen before he comes, and to not be troubled by believing that day is immediate. So that seems very strange, but this was necessary for one simple reason. False preachers and those who misuse the scriptures for the sake of their own notoriety, their own gain. You know how in our day, in my lifetime, at least two names I could mention have done the same thing. They've said, "Oh, the Lord's coming back on this day," and everybody, you know, you need to get rid of all your earthly goods and quit your job and come live on this mountain and stare up into the sky. And Paul is reassuring them that, look, that's not scriptural, it's not advisable, it's error for their own gain. For, you know, they write books about it and make a lot of money, and they get notoriety for their sensationalism, and it's just pride is what it is. I know, you know, this that can't be knowable, but I know it. And as I say, we've seen this at least a few times. These fraudsters convince people to quit their jobs and sell all their stuff and do stupid things. That is not the message of Scripture. And first of all, this deception is repeated throughout history, in spite of the clear teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reason why the Lord said what he did about this. It's typical of all blasphemy. Every lie that religion tells, that Satan tells, is in direct contradiction to the truth. It's just the opposite. If the Bible says it's not of the will of man, religion says it's of the will of man. If the Bible says that you are a captive of Satan and deliberately uses the word will in that statement, that you are a captive of Satan and that you do what you do at his will, then man will say, we have a free will. It's just exactly the opposite of what the scripture says. And this is no exception. If somebody says, I know the day, well, looky here. The scripture says, no man knoweth the day. It's just exact. Listen to what the Lord said in Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Let's turn over there with me, if you would, while I'm reading it, because I want to read a fairly lengthy passage here. Verse 35 of Matthew 24. Matthew 24:35. Excuse me. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came. They didn't know when it was coming. They didn't believe it was even coming. Same now, same with the Lord's return. And took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. Notice that the one that's taken, the one that is the Lord's, that he redeemed on Calvary and comes to possess that purchased possession that he purchased on Calvary with his own precious blood, she ain't living on a mountain staring up at the sky. She's grinding at the mill. She's doing what she did every other day. But she's doing it with the expectation in her heart, as we'll see when we read the rest of it, that the Lord can come at any minute. And we look for his coming, but not at a particular time. He said, grind at the mill. Be in the field. Be out working your field. And you'll be taken. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. If a thief calls me up and says at 2 a.m. I'm going to be over there and I'm going to steal all your stuff, I'm going to be up on the roof with my pistol. He's not coming in. Therefore be ye also ready. Readiness doesn't mean that you know when. Readiness means you don't know when. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so listen to this beautiful question in conclusion to that thought. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? You see what our business is as believers? Feed my sheep, visit my sheep, welcome my sheep. That's serving the Lord, doing something for his sheep. His household is the household of the saints. It's his people, his sheep. Our priority is the church, his church in this world. Preaching the gospel. That's what sheep are fed with, is the truth of Christ. He said, I am the bread. I am the living water. So be about that business. Look at verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find on a mountaintop staring up at the sky. No. Be about the business of the ministry. The business that he's given, the commission that he's given us in this world. Not blessed is the man that quits his earthly business, but is going about that with the constant expectation that the Lord could come back any minute. He's also clearly stated here that if a man claims to know the day or the hour, he's lying, because no man knoweth. And yet, as with all blasphemy, what does man do? Right in the face of God's plain revelation, in defiance of God's truth, they make these blasphemous statements for their own gain, for their own notoriety. Nobody knew who those men were until they said, the Lord's coming back on this day, and I've got it all figured out. Look at this scripture and that scripture and that other scripture. The way people come up with this idiocy of predicting the day is by taking a scripture here, a scripture there, cobbling together a theory of some time, cracking the secret code of the Bible. That's not how God reveals himself or anything to sinners. The message of scripture is shouted from every page and paragraph. It's not unclear. This book concerns God's Son, Jesus Christ. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. They're not written so that you can crack some weird code. I'm going to save all these people a lot of time who are scouring the scriptures. You know, they'll take every seventh word of every seventh page, because seven's the number of protection. And they'll pick out those words and say, look what that says. It doesn't say anything. I'll save them all the trouble. I've cracked the secret code of Scripture, and here it is. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Those who have life, it was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's the unspeakable gift of his precious Son. God hath given to us his Son. He's given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's the message of this whole book. That's the record that God has put down on paper. And that's it. You know, I've heard people say there's a lot more in the scriptures than Christ. Read them again until the day star appears, until God gives you light to see his Son. And listen, we read that. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know what the next verse says? These things have I written unto you. He wrote the Bible. He wrote part of the Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why have you written them? That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, wait a minute. You just said we believe. You see what this book is? It's not a code book. You're not going to figure out things that God has not revealed in plain, simple, everyday language. Because in simple, plain, everyday terms, God has revealed his Son. And those that believe on his Son, you know what, why we look into the Word of God? That we might believe on his Son. Is that emphatic enough? From the Scripture now. This is not my opinion. Would it shock you to hear me say that I don't care when the Lord comes back? Is that shocking? Little bit. I have to qualify that a little bit, because I want him to come back right now. And in that sense, I care. But you know what's more important than that? Whenever he has purposed to come, back to this earth and receive us unto himself, whenever that is, whenever he purposed. Unless he purposed to do it now, then what he purposed is better than now. Would you agree with that? That's why I don't care when. What matters to me and what I want to know more about is who it is that's coming for me, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What is most precious to me about his return is his promise that when he does, he will receive me unto himself. Not that I might have a mansion on the hilltop, but that where he is, there may I be also. That's glory. That's glory. And I know he's coming. Now, on that note, look back at verse 1 of our text and look particularly how Paul describes the Lord's coming. He describes it this way, our gathering together unto him. He's going to gather all of his sheep into his bosom. The Son of God at his coming is going to gather us as a hen doth gather her chicks, and not one of his sheep shall be lost. You know, we're given that as the reason why he hasn't come back yet. Not one of his sheep shall be lost. That's why he hasn't already come back. He said that in 2 Peter 3:8. Turn over there with me. Let's look at this language again. This is familiar, but listen to this in the light of our scripture this morning. He's going to gather us all together, those who have died in the Lord and those who are alive and remain, all that he has ever saved, the ancient bones of those in the Old Testament that believed on the Savior. Look for his coming then. They look for his first coming. And we here today look for his second coming. We all of his sheep have always looked for him. And those bones, did he not show Ezekiel his power in that regard? Exceeding dead, dry bones. But they began to rattle, and bone came upon bone, and flesh came upon those bones, and he breathed into them the breath of life. He's going to gather every one of his sheep together in that day. And listen, why hasn't he come back already? You think, boy, it would have been good if he'd have come back. You know, listen to 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Those that try to predict and, you know, there are signs and this and that, and we're going to predict the day. You're ignorant. Don't be ignorant of this. Among many other things, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. It hasn't been a long time to him. He inhabiteth eternity. It's the blink of an eye to him. But also now, you know that song, God looks at us from a distance or something. 1,000 years is as a day. Time passes. And God inhabiteth eternity. This is already done in the mind of God. It's already done. It's all accomplished. Everything that he's accomplishing now is accomplished in eternity. But also every day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. He knows every minute. He's not watching this earth from a distance. He dwells within his people. He meets with his people when we meet together in his name. One day is as 1,000 years to him, because in such minute detail he has purposed and he carries out every what we call coincidence, every situation, every circumstance. It's all his providence. And so we sit here and say, well, it's been so long since he came. We don't know what we're talking about. Listen, verse 9. The reason that the Lord hasn't come back yet is because he is not slack concerning his promise, as we are, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Who do you think usward is? Mankind? No, believers. He's talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about those who are looking for the Lord. Be not ignorant of this one thing, beloved, brethren. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. He has an elect people, and he's not coming back till every one of them saved. He could do that today. He could save the last one today. All of the final ones today if he wanted to. But he's not going to come back till they're saved. And that's fine with me if it's today or 10 years from now or 100 years from now. Because I kind of love some of them. I kind of love a few of them that would perish if he came back today. But they're all going to come to repentance. But look at verse 10. Look how beautiful. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This is what we read a while ago. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is the rest of our text. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing that all of this is going to be dissolved, should we be living for all of this? Should our purpose in life be to gain a bunch of this that's going to be dissolved? Or should we look to him who gave us everything we have? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. We look for the Savior's return because we look for the Savior. Not when. We expect that he could return any day, at any time. You don't prepare for a thief, for the eventuality that a thief might break into your house because you know when he's coming. You prepare because you don't know when he's coming. Paul said there would be a falling away before the Lord returns. Now we know that in Paul's day, all of the religion of the Jews was false. The synagogues, they called that the worship of God. They didn't know who God was until God sent Paul to some of them and preached the gospel. They were all anti-Christ. They despised the Son of God. They crucified the Lord of glory. So that's not the falling away. That was already true. You can't fall away from somewhere you've never been to begin with. Many religious people look at the terrible state of this godless world and they say, well, there's been a great falling away. No. They say, well, the Lord must be coming soon because look at the falling away. Look at Paul's day. There were just a handful that believed. That's not the falling away. The world being the world is not the falling away. That doesn't make sense from the scriptures. This is talking about among the true church of God. There shall be a falling away. And that doesn't mean that any man or woman or child that truly knows the Savior can ever fall away, because our security is not our knowledge of him or our profession of him, but his love for us. And that can't be lost. His love is eternal. He that begun a good work in somebody will finish it, will perform it, the scripture says. But among those who believe the gospel, there will be those who claim to believe on Christ and seem to believe on Christ and are accepted by men as believing on Christ, but it will be revealed that they have never believed on Christ. There'll be a falling away in the church. There's no falling away in the world. You can't fall away from where you've never been. There's a falling away in the church that's coming. I believe has come. Those who have even preached the gospel for a time have fallen away. And others will fall away. The message of who? The message of Christ so subtly becomes the message of what and how and when. The second that it's not the person of Christ himself anymore, that's a falling away. When we become taken up with how, you know, and why. We know some whys that he's revealed. There's a lot he hasn't revealed that people seem obsessed with. And how. It leads to strifes of words and contentions and envyings and railings and evil surmisings according to the scripture. The minute you find yourself hinging the whole of your belief, and this is religion to a T, they'll find one scripture and sometimes one word, and they'll hinge their whole belief on the meaning of a single word. And when that happens, you've missed the forest for the trees. The gospel of God's Son is shouted in all of the scriptures as from a mountaintop. And before the Lord returns, the Antichrist shall be revealed, our text says. And I know it says man there, but it's wrong to think of Antichrist as one man only. That's clear from scriptures. In 1 John 2:18, John wrote this, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come," singular. "But even now," he said, "there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." The spirit of antichrist is satanic. What was Satan's message in the garden? Think about it. The message in the Garden of Eden was this: it's not up to God, it's up to you. God said this, and he's left this up to you. God determining this, in fact, is not fair. It's not fair for God to determine it, everything. You can decide. You have a choice. Where do you hear that message now? Free will, man-centered, antichrist religion. That's antichrist. That's what our text is talking about. What is the message of the gospel? Christ's person, Christ's will, Christ's work. What's the message of your average so-called church these days? You, your will, your works. And you know, we're told that in Revelation 13, 18. Listen to this. This is a brief one verse. But remember what we just said now. You know this is right from experience, much less from the scriptures. The message of the gospel is Christ, his will, and his work. The message of religion is you, your will, and your work. You listen to it. You, you, you. Herein is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. The number of man. What's the message of Antichrist? Man, man, man. That's it. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve yourself. You're going to believe on God or you're going to follow your heart. You're going to resign yourself to his will or you're going to trust your own will. You're going to look to his finished work of salvation or you're going to go about establishing your own righteousness. It's man, man, man. Hear him that hath wisdom, understand that. I don't pretend to know anything about when the Lord returns. But I can say without hesitation that there is no reason in the Scriptures, which there wouldn't be any reason that mattered apart from the Scriptures, but there's no reason why he could not return right now. Look for his coming because of who is coming. I thought of this verse of a song that we sing, and I think it maybe sums it up better than I could. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with him or meet him in the air, but I know whom. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've delivered unto him against that day. Whenever that day is, I know him. I know whom. That's enough. Revelation 22:20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.